And so today we will start Daf Tzadik Zayin.
We are so predictable.
Because 1 plus 96 equals 97. Okay, we have a new Yomer. That's what we're up to. Let's see, what does it say here?
Sell my chametz to the rabbi.
It says that if you cooked your liver in milk, shloka b'chalav maho. What's the rule of cooking a liver in milk? So, in other words, we just said that while it's busy being pilot all the dam, so it's not going to absorb from another dover iser. So what's the shaila about chalav? Maybe chalav is different because
number 4 explains it.
It's what do they call it? It's not slippery. That's what it says. Milk clings. It's not slippery. It's more easily absorbed. So that's one way of explaining it. But the footnote has a very interesting halach, which I'm going to speak out now. I'm talking about the textual and interpretive variants. Now, oilam, he knew for sure halav does not get absorbed. Like we said, it doesn't absorb because it's busy spitting out. What was the shaila?
Liver could do.
The shaila was, is there an iser lo savashal gdiba chalevi mo, even when there's no blia, right? Because that's what we have here. We have a bishul of basa b'chalav, but we have a case, because the liver is being poilate, that the liver was not being boilea the chalav. So it's a lumdash shaila. Do you say lo savashal gdiba chalevi mo is an iser, regardless whether the meat absorbs or not? Or do you say, no, since it's not absorbing, there's no iser of bishul either? That's the shaila. I love that. That's very chashim. Who says that shaila? Abshat? It's Rash Sri'ilio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people say cholav could be red cholav, which might mean vinegar. Others say it could be red chalev. We're not going to do all the pshatim. It gets too confusing. Anyway, the Gemara leaves the inquiry unresolved. So no matter how you learn it, you don't have an answer anyway. So what's the point? Reb Zeir lo achal kaven miyamav. This I love. This next Gemara. I love this Gemara. Reb Zeir never ate a cooked liver. Shalke Rebbe Rebba va'ochale, and Rebba cooked the liver and he fed it to him. He fed it to him anyway.
He was sick?
No. So they speak this out over there. In footnote 7, first bracket, although Reb Zeir was stringent and did not rely on Reb Yochanan ben Nuri's ruling, Rebba was not a violation of Lifnei Iver, since he himself maintained that cooked liver is mutter. There we go. Home run. I finally got one. I had this Gemara earlier, remember? We talked about it with Shmuel and Rav when it came to a certain food that Rav didn't want to eat it. Shmuel made it. He held it was mutter and he fed it to him. So there the footnote said, oh, Rav changed his mind. So that ruined it for me. Mm-hmm. But this one, I've got a good one. This one, I've got a home run. I've got a case in the Yerushalmi that even though you hold its asar, but I hold its mutter, and if you're eating in my house, you do like the king.
You can't.
Do like the king.
No, it doesn't say that. It says who ate it? It's not wrong of me to serve it to you.
Why not?
Because I hold its mutter.
But I hold its asar, so why isn't...
So choose not to eat it.
Okay.
And you think he knew?
I thought the one who said it was Usher served it to the one who said it was Mutter.
No, it's the other way around.
The other way.
Hutchinson knew that it's liver.
Yeah, so you bet. Liver.
You can't mistake liver. Liver has a very distinct look.
He ate it and he knew he was.
Yeah, that's according to that shot. Obviously, there are other mepharshim who learn all kinds of different pshatim here to get out of this raya, so that it won't be. He didn't need it. He ate it himself, but he didn't need it. He didn't give it to him, or whatever. You know, I don't want to get into those. I like my pshat.
So the issue isn't, are you allowed to feed it to him? Can he eat it?
The footnote says that Rav Zera knew that it's mutter. He was just machmir on himself. If he does hasidut, it's not.
Yeah, but even so, that's an interesting thing. Right, that even asminas chasidus. So in other words, your minas chasidus should not extend. I tell this to people all the time. You want to be machmir, be machmir, but don't be machmir to the point that you won't. You're gonna have to insult your host.
Okay, so
that's the idea.
He did it. He ate.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Let's keep going.
He fed it to him. I think he was sick.
Okay. You can say your pshat, and I can say my pshat.
If he's sick, he can eat it.
Chomain osur neishu b'leia. Here we're talking about the section of talking about the eggs. So there's a wholesome in Yerodea, Hilchos Beit Tzim.
And you skipped something.
No, I didn't.
If you did, I didn't hear it.
I didn't skip anything.
He salted it. You don't have that.
Oh, you're right. It's done. I'm sorry, I did skip that. You are right. Another version. Malchei Rebov Ochle. He salted the liver and he fed it to him after cooking it. Okay. So that must be the salt that extracted it. Yeah. Just as salting is effective to extracting all bloods of other meat, it can extract all the liver's blood. So he cooked it, and then he fed it to him.
Even though there are those that say you can't.
Normally we don't rely on kashering salt for a liver because there's so much blood it doesn't have the ability to extract it all. Okay. Chelmon, we're going to the next one. Let's go to the next section. Okay, chelmon. The chelmon is the yellow part of the egg. But I just want to get the simon right here. It's Simon Ayin Gimel, right? Ayin Gimel, yeah. Or is it Pei Vav? No, it's Ayin Gimel. So there's a halakas of eggs. Chelmon
Simon
also.
Ayin Gimel's egg.
No, that's right. That's right. That's very good, Shamsi. Well, she's a genius. No, that's not right. Ayin Gimel is Hilchos Malicha. Hilchos Din Sliyas HaKovek. That's not the right. That's not the right one.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. No, it's Pevav. Yeah, Pevav. It's in Pevav. It was close. It was good. That was a good attempt. That was too good to be true. So if you have the yolk is forbidden because of Neshu Balei, it absorbs the forbidden flavor. So if you have egg that was cooked and seasoned with prohibited spices, the Chel Mon is also the yolk. Tani Bar Kapara, Chelmon also, Koshkan Kalei Beitzim, that the yolk is forbidden, surely the white part, because the white part is surrounding the yellow part, so if the inside of the egg is also surely the outside. That's one way of saying the Koshkan.
Is that the thing? It was added before the shell was cracked.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
Balea. It's Balea, that's what we said. Yitzchak Rabba B'Shem Reb Shem Ben Lakish. So he said like this. If you go ahead and you cook eggs together and you find an unhatched chick in one of the eggs, but nice and tight, so then you have to you know, figure out how much is it 60, right? If you have 60 against it, right? Regular dinner, nice and tight.
That's the same thing with the blood spot.
No, it's not the same thing as blood spot. This is a din of an unhatched chick where the whole inside of the egg is a davar asur. Reb Zeira, Reb Shimon bar Bob, Reb Shimon bar Yochanan, Reb Zeira, Reb Avada bar Gershon, Reb Kirai, Reb Levi bar Palta, Zokin Echad, B'Shem Rebbe. I mean, a lot of names here. Shishim va'achas asuras. If there's 61 eggs in all, they're asur. In other words, if you have the one egg that's asur, and you have the 60 eggs that are mutter, it's still asr.
It's usher because it's dead? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Shishim ushtayim mutaros. But if you have 62 eggs, then it's mutter. Why do you have a shear of 62 by eggs? Because eggs are different sizes. One egg's a little bit larger than another egg. And therefore, if you have only 60 eggs, you're really not going to necessarily have 60 times this. So therefore, Chazal rounded it up and they said, add another egg, and that way you're in safe. You're safe, right? So it's a specific din by eggs. If you had an Isser egg, that was this egg here we're talking about, which has an Afrayach inside it, and you threw it into a soup, then it would be the regular share of 60. It wouldn't be 61. Because the only reason you need 61 eggs that are kosher is because of the size of the egg. But if it would be a regular, measurable, easily measurable amount, then it would not be that way, okay?
Kazayas is the most obvious shear.
Kazayas?
So kibetza is a shear on its own. Over here, we're saying.
Over here, if you have 60.
You're saying we're using a standard and we don't even accept the standard for itself.
That's right. That's what he's saying. And the reason is because we're using 60 of them. It's one thing if you're dealing with an average size egg, so you can have an average size egg and say that's the shir kibetza. But if you're dealing with 61 eggs,
It should average out.
Maybe not. Chazal decided to make it 62. That's what it says. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, and this is brought halacha, by the way. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Yerushalmi b'Yonah's son, hey, it ara chavareinu lefaneinu b'shishim. He said, no, it was 60. V'amar mishu yavili yosim b'shishim machshorinu. Whoever will bring me a case of unhatched chick eggs that was cooked in a mixture containing more than 60 eggs, I'll be moderate. Okay, so he wasn't Makabal this Chumra, I guess. Ravada testified, eggs do not differ from other prohibited items. 60 is enough. Okay. Amrin l'shimin barva. So they told it over to Shimon barva. Omar, ad hachin. Do you indeed say this? That 62 eggs, the Inun Armin Hochen, and they say this, that it's even if there are 61 eggs. Amaloi, he said, I know, Mother Shema is the Inun Mother Shamon. I said what I heard, and they said what they heard, and I heard it was 61, and they heard that it was 60. What?
This table is
ridiculous. Okay. So they said what they heard and I said what I heard, so I'm not being chayzer on anything over here, okay? Shimon bar Vav Amar Kumi Reb Kanina, Maisabel Thera Gamliel Barebi. So it was a story, the same thing where you had an egg with an unhatched chick cooked with other eggs. Amar Avala Mori Barboyim Besheva. Did Rebbe not rule that unhatched eggs are bottle even in 47 eggs? Certainly he did. What does it mean, 47 eggs? He's talking about a case where you had, besides the 47 eggs, you also had water. And he was being mitzarif the water that was in there as well. The water is mitzarif, and the eggshells are mitzarif. Everything was mitzarif, so all he needed was 47 in that particular case.
He always says the shell. He doesn't say anything about the water.
Well, he does on the bottom here.
He does?
Yeah, number 20.
Yep. A number of Barbara Chamesh, I'll say even 45. Each case is has to be judged independently. The number of eggs will vary from case to case based on how much water was in the mixture. Rabchiyah v'shem Rabchanina, Maisabot Ne Rebbe, V'amar is Tamon Chamshin. If there are 50 eggs, then I'll be matter it. Right? Right. Yeah. Here he writes in Pefarish that the vegetables and the eggshells and the water are all mitzarif together to be mevatel it. And by the way, Rabbi Sai, even the eggshell of the chick, the egg that the chick has found, that eggshell is also mitzarif to be mevatel the iser, because that nothing osir about that eggshell. So the eggshells of the whole mixture are mitzarif to mevatel the iser. Very interesting.
White.
What?
So we're saying that this chick was in the yellow.
Is that
no? No. The chick is inside an egg. There's nothing else in this. It's just a little dead chicken. I'm a Zaira. The Isser Mitaychon. Furthermore, when you're doing figuring out the ratio, so he says here, we measure the permitted eggs against the prohibited edible part of the egg from within, but not against its shell. Okay, that's what he's saying right there. Same thing. What I just told you. I'm Rav Huna Klipe Isser Malan Sahetra, that's the rule. This is that the Klipe Isser, the shell around the prohibited egg, it's mitstarif to be mavatalit. In other words, not only are you not mashayer the shear to measure against it, but it even helps to be mavatalit. That's what he's adding. Okay?
He's talking about even shells of eggs that are asa.
Prohibited shell, prohibited eggs. That's what I'm talking about. The whole discussion is about the prohibited. When you have a chick inside an egg, that is a prohibited egg. That's what we're talking about.
The inside is prohibited.
Yeah, the inside is prohibited. So he's saying that you measure just on the inside, just using the inside. Don't use the outside. And then they add, and on top of that, the outside shell is mavatalit. All brought lahalacha, this is all mafurish and halacha. Nobody argues on this. All right? Tanya. Well, one second. Before I go jumping off the deep end and say something wrong, I will tell you one thing. There's a Ramah here in this siman. He says the following. Okay. If you have... let's see here. This is what it says in Sif Hei. In Sif Hei it says... Beitzas of tome shenisbashla imachero. So if I have a robin egg, they got boiled with my chicken eggs, no matter how few, it does not answer anything. Right? Even if it's less than 60. Why? They say because the inside of an egg is mayo ba'alma. It's not real, you know, it's not really isser. That you need to worry about it going out, giving off time. So therefore, the eggshell around the robin egg is adequate to prevent it from giving off time into the rest of the top shell. That's what it says in the Mefarshim. So if you have a beitzas nevela or beitzas oif tameh, it makes no difference. The rule is it's mutter, right? All the other eggs in the pot. I go in. You got an ostrich egg in.
No matter how many.
Doesn't matter. I have a big ostrich egg, and I've got a couple little chick eggs, and I'm boiling everything up together. You know, Fred Flintstone. He's making a big pot over there. Wilma's making a whole big pot over there. The little eggs are 100% mutter because the ostrich egg is not going to give time. Okay, but now I'm talking about where it has a shell on it. If it's kluma, if it's already been hard boiled, and then you peeled it and you put it in there, then already it's different. It's a different tool. I'm talking about where it's in its shell. I just want to bring out this one point. So, our Gemara, which is talking about a beitza which has a unborn chick in it, that's different. That's not maya ba'alma inside the egg. That is like this flesh inside the egg. So that'll give off time. That there you need to have a share of shishim. The other Gemara says beferish. It's benois and time, okay? So that's one. That's a basic distinction. I want to make sure it's clear. A regular egg that's just treif, that doesn't give off time, and it's mutter, the top shell is mutter, the other eggs are mutter. But on this, the Ramah writes a Yeshomim. He ruins it for everybody. This is what Maker Hadin. Then the Ramah writes, V'yeshomim, chol beitzim dinam shoveh. All eggs have the same rule. We're not going to make chilukim over here, whether it has a little chicky inside, or whether it's an oif tameh, or whether it's an oif nevela. No difference across the board. Oysrim, afilo, enum, klufum, they'll ask even if they're not peeled, even if they're in the eggshell, וכן יש לנהוג במקום שאין הפסד מרובה, והפסד מרובה יש לסמוך המקילים. So, the Rambam ruined it for us, okay? So, the Anshei Ashkenaz are going to have to follow that. Sorry, guys.
Let's wait.
We're going to get the blood spots coming up right now. Noch, weiter. Tanya. Beitzim tohira is shishlokanim hatameas mutaris. There it says in Farish, this din, what we just said. Non-kosher eggs with kosher eggs are mutar. Amr zera, hadona tamar. Who shishlokan beklipayim. This is if they cooked them with their shells. Shlukos beshlukos. And if they were shelled, but he re-cooked previously cooked kosher eggs with previously cooked non-kosher eggs. Now we turn the page to Tzadik Zayin on the page. So, Beitzim Klupos, Meshein and Klupos, or, one second, was that a statement? Concerning this, in other words, where they're not prohibited, that's when they were cooked them with their shells. Or even if they're all shelled, Or even if they're all shelled and they were cooked earlier, and now you're cooking them together. In this case, one second, let's see. So I have two hard-boiled eggs. One's a hard-boiled egg, which is treif. One's a hard-boiled egg, which is kosher. So in this case, the eggs are permitted, although there is no impediment, because both the kosher and non-kosher eggs were previously cooked separately. That's right. At which point, the non-kosher eggs secreted most of their flavor already. The kosher eggs became saturated with what they absorbed during the first cooking, so any transfer during the second cooking is negligible. This is what he's saying. This is kind of like what we said earlier when it came to olives, right? Whole olives. Whole things that are whole apparently have this characteristic that they'll absorb and then they'll secrete, but after that's happened, it kind of like ends there. And therefore, the treif egg had already excreted most of what it had in it. Okay, so that's why it's mutter. Okay, but if he cooks beitzim klufos b'she'en unklufos, he cooked shelled non-kosher eggs with unshelled kosher eggs, all she'en unklufos b'klufos, or unshelled non-kosher eggs with shelled kosher eggs, shlukos b'en unshlukos. Shelled eggs that were previously cooked with shelled eggs that were not previously cooked, tzrichon, and there's a question that Gerson here, tzrichon shear, we'll just drop the word acher, they do need a shear. In other words, you have to figure out what it is, you know, how much time there is, and it's also been nice and time. So that's some of the distinctions. It's another brisa. Giulei beitzim mutarim. If you have prematurely expelled eggs, a prematurely expelled egg means I go ahead and I give the chicken a clap on his behind, and an egg pops out prematurely. It wasn't ready to come out, but I caused it to come out prematurely. So that's mutter. That egg is mutter. And the Gemara interrupts the narrative to explain where the word gi'ul comes from. It's a pasuk in Iyuv. Shoro ibar v'lo yagil. His bull impregnates, and the sperm is not ejected. So the ejection is the word gi'ul. So that beitzim shehir kimu harelo asuris. If you have eggs that have what? They've begun to develop embryos. They're usur, muzoros, adult eggs. So adult, he says, it means twisted. It means the egg is standing a long time and begins to spoil. The contents turn stringy like spun yarn. So muzoros is addled eggs. Either unfertilized or fertilized, both become addled through brooding. So brooding, I guess, is having them begin to decay. I guess that's the method, right? You heat up a fertilized egg with some heat, and it starts to decay, and then it begins to develop a chick. That's the method. So we're talking about before it starts to develop the chick, at the point that it has decayed. I'm going to say that that's what this is. That's what Buzar says. So what's the din there? Then it says over here in the Gemara, Hanefesh Hayofa Taichal. So if you're a person who is favorably disposed, so you can eat them.
That's very interesting. That's the opposite of the, like you call a person a nefesh hayofa, means a person who is a feinschmecker.
Yeah.
Not this way. This is the
opposite. Here's the opposite. Here's the opposite. Yeah. He's the opposite of a mafunik.
Yeah.
Right? The opposite. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, if you're not so disposed, then the iser to eat it is because of the iser of Baal Teshaktsu. It's a totally different iser, right? Matzavahem dam, kol makom dam. Here we come with the blood spots. If you find blood and eggs, then you discard the area of the blood. All you really need, medina, is to scoop off the blood spot, and then the rest of the egg is mutar. Rav Zeira sought mavakel Rav Chiya b'reid Rav Chiya tzlikat hu shiyoy. So he's going to visit him. And Ashkei Yosef Omar,
He's sick.
He's being vakar chayla. So he finds him sitting saying, lo yishon elav kelmoin. The only time they said that the blood has to be discarded is when it's found on the yolk of a kelbone. If it's found on the albumen, on the white part, mutter, then it's okay. You don't even have to peel it off. Who suffered the hugabe min av hohase? He thought that this was something he had from a tradition from his fathers. Then Rabbi Abu came and rejected this notion. And he said, on the contrary, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that bein chelbon aser, whether it's found on the white part or on the yellow part, it's aser.
And all you have to do is throw it out.
Just have to cut the red part off, and then you can eat the rest. Tani Rav Chalafta ben Shaul, Chalman Osir, Chalman Mutter. Again, there's a spice that which supports Rav Chiya. So Amar Rav Zeira, so he says, hey, Honda Amar, that which you say, Bechalman Osir, Bishanimsim ben Mekom Zakusa Shalchama. That's what's found on the male sperm of the yolk. Not 100% sure what this means. So it says over here that at first the sperm attaches itself to the albumen at one end of the egg. As the embryo's development progresses, it makes its way into the yolk and attaches itself there.
Interesting. In the shell, either on the flatter side or on the pointy side, that's what the footnote says.
Right.
That's where the zera is stored, and that's where it develops, the chick.
So what are we saying then? So the blood spot is only also when? If it's found on the
points, I have no idea what that means.
Wherever that spot, wherever the spot is, either on the flat side or on the pointy side, I guess that's when it'll be
okay. Awesome. Maybe pointy side is that's what Zafrusa.
Maybe.
Yeah.
My filo chalbon, and accordingly, there's no difference between blood found on the yolk and blood found on the albumen. Even if it's found on the album, and it's forbidden, that's where the chick is formed. In other words, 22, we have established, even concerning the yolk, we differentiate between blood found on the sperm and blood found elsewhere, because that determines whether the blood is classified as blood of an egg that was caused by an injury, right? And the chicken had some internal bleeding that got into the egg, in which case that's really not a problem. You can just cut away the blood and eat the rest. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not even osir then. Or blood of the meat. Now, I think the injury blood is even mutter to eat outright. Yeah. There's no reason the same should apply to the blood found in the albumen. If the blood is found where the sperm attaches itself, the blood is classified as blood of meat. It's forbidden. If it's found elsewhere, it's blood of an egg, and it's permitted. So there's no rationale to distinguish between the albumen and the yolk. Rather, it's dependent on what? Whether it's found on the sperm or elsewhere. So the blood status is the same thing. Okay, so it's going to be different pshatim over here. Okay? Adkan, 97.
Yes, indeed. All these hetterim, we don't rely on any of them.
Most people throw out the eggs completely when they're done with it, right? It's
relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah. How many bloody eggs have you found in the last 5 years?
They don't, because they're unfertile.